May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let me read this one to you again. We've been taking a look some this week at our... We talk about our identity a lot around here because I think that's the biggest crisis that humans have, period. But that's true in the body of Christ, too, that we don't know how... We don't have our identity straightened out, who we are. Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what to be or how to act or anything else. What's unfortunate for a lot of Christians is they get their assignment, and they think their assignment's their identity. But you're human beings, not human doings. And so your being or your doing has to flow out of your being. And so only when you know who you are, then what you'll do will have real credibility and won't burn you out. But we've been talking about our assignment a lot this week, and for CTKers, we'll do that more and more. But our identity is very simple. We're in Christ. And our calling is to be conformed to the image of Christ and to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's our calling. But our assignment is to go out into the world and manifest the fullness of Christ that's being formed in us and to bring heaven to earth. Everywhere we manifest the fullness of Christ. That's our assignment. And when Jesus talks about he saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky, it's kind of like in Matthew 11 and 12 when he talks about, like, here's your assignment. You're going to go plunder the enemy's camp, and I'm going to make it unfair. I'm going to bind him up. And so once I bind him up, then at the cross, once I defeat him, bruise his head at the cross, then you get to go and plunder everything that he's stolen and held captive. So this is one of my favorite scriptures. We read it earlier in the week. And for unfortunately, if you're CTKers, I know we're doing the Elijah series, but I'm really tempted about doing the thing I did Sunday so the whole group gets to hear it. I think it's important. The king of Assyria, that's referred to in Nahum, is primarily a type of Satan that happened several times in the Old Testament prophets. And he says, your shepherds are sleeping, O king of Assyria. Your nobles are lying down. Your peoples are scattered on the mountains. There is no one to regather them. There is no relief for your breakdown. And your wound is incurable. That's the head wound that Jesus at the cross applied to the enemy. All who hear about you will clap their hands over you, for on whom is not your evil passed continually. The sad thing, even in the body of Christ, and especially among charismatic Christians, we deal with the enemy. It's like we think he's like full-blooded, full strength, and it's just a hand-to-hand combat, and we don't know who's going to win. But the truth is that he's been defeated. But all who hear about that clap their hands over him. But sadly, so many Christians haven't heard it. They think that it's like an even battle. And it's really not it's an unfair battle. You and I have an unfair advantage. He's been defeated at the cross. He's been given a fatal wound. And all you and I do is go and enforce a victory that Jesus already won. When Jesus said it's finished at the cross, again, that word can be also interpreted better, perfect, or completed, or accomplished. It covers so many areas, but it starts with the defeat of the evil one. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We're to continue that assignment, to carry out that assignment. But we carry out it from this side of Calvary, knowing that the victory's already been won. So this is a scripture I threatened to read earlier, and I can't put it off this week. But this is Psalm 99. And I can't spend a lot of time in it. We don't have that kind of time. But again, it says the Lord reigns. Now, the enemy doesn't reign. The Lord reigns. And so I can leave this place knowing that my assignment is to manifest the fullness of Christ and to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth in each one person at a time, one situation at a time, knowing that no matter how much the enemy might resist or how much warfare there is, it's just flack. The Lord reigns. There's one place in the psalm that says that even when there's clouds and thick darkness, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. And he, the strength of the king, loves justice. And thou hast established equity, or basically making things even or level. For you have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. Earlier, we mentioned this the other day, when he talks about the Lord reigns and peoples tremble, he is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake, and says, Let them praise thy name is great and awesome. It says, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. Holy is he. The trembling and the shaking isn't just about like the holy fear of the Lord. It's in this context, it's worship. That God's reigning and he's holy and he's so great, it just makes you worship. And true, the word, every place in the Bible where the word worship is used, the New Testament word literally means to kiss towards. Most of the time in the Old Testament, it means to thrust your arms up or move around and dance or hop up and down. What we've done in the West, we've converted worship into, I don't know. We should just buy tickets because that's what we do when we go to movies and stuff. Just sit there and watch. How do you do that when God reigns? When he's great. Holy is he. Moses and Aaron were among his priests and Samuel was among those who called on his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them in the pillar of the cloud and they kept his testimonies. And the statute that he gave them, O Lord our God, thou didst answer them, for you have been a forgiving God to them. Now, in my Bible, the New American Standard, which is usually really accurate, it has some italicized words in the next verse sentence because it's trying to make you understand the meaning. But the problem is, when they do that often, they twist the meaning. So I read what it says. It says, for you have been a forgiving God to them, and yet an avenger of their evil deeds. But the word evil's not there, and yet not there. What it really says, the word deeds here, is abuse. And you, God, have been an avenger of their abuse. What do you mean their abuse? The abuse of the enemy on them. If you go back in the context, he talks about, and the Lord the King loves justice, and he has brought about equity. Jesus has come to make everything right that's been made wrong. He came, he's a forgiving God, and he avenges the abuse that humanity has suffered at the hands of the enemy. I'll read this one, we're almost done. Remember Isaiah 61, the mandate, the assignment that Jesus was given? The Spirit of the Lord's upon me, that's the equipment for the assignment, because the Lord's anointed me to do what? To bring good news to the afflicted. What's good news to the afflicted? You don't have to be afflicted anymore. He sent me to the broken heel, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord, now hear this, and the day of vengeance of our God. Vengeance on who? People? No, on the enemy. And the destruction of sin and Satan in the lives of human beings. Now you hear this. O Lord our God, you didst answer them. You have been a forgiving God to them and an avenger of their abuse. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for holy is his name. When we think of holiness, we think of usually the character of God. Like, he's just holy, you know, he's pure. But holiness, the word holy just means other. That's what the word literally means, other or different, set apart. Everything about God's holy. The fact that he avenges is holy. His power is holy. When you pray for somebody and they get healed, that's the holiness of God, the fullness of Christ being manifested. Heaven's say-so has been come down. It's been made right. The God of justice has made this right. He's an avenger. He's the original. There's all those movies now, the Avengers. Jesus was the great avenger. He should have had some kind of super person outfit on at the cross. But this is our assignment, is to go out in Jesus' name, not in the power of our strength, but manifesting the fullness of Christ and make what's wrong right in every arena to bring heaven to earth. That's the church's assignment. Whether it's somebody needing to be healed or somebody needing to be loved or somebody needing to be restored or that we see someone who's poor. Poverty is a result of the fall. Why does the church keep asking and hoping that the secular society will have another flipping committee meeting to solve the problems that Jesus only alone can solve? He's an avenger of the abused. And that's a cool assignment, isn't it? To go out and help the abused, to avenge the abuse that's been on them and bring heaven to earth to their place. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. No wonder we worship him, huh?